Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another empowering episode of Legal Treats. This is Neska sitting in for Attorney Eileen. Well, she's not here, but of course, I'll be joined by someone later, someone that we used to be with here at Legal Treats. But before anything else, we're live in Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And if you're catching the replay, thank you for tuning in from Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts. So today we're continuing our special series, Women in Law. It's a space where we reflect on the unique experiences, challenges, and power that women bring into the legal profession. We don't have a guest today, but of course we're taking the time to have a real conversation. And I'll be joined in by my co-host for today, Krisha. And yes, Krisha, how are you?
Hi, Neska. So good morning here in the Philippines and good evening there. Oh, from
Attorney. Good morning still here in the Philippines. And good evening there, Attorney Eileen. I think Attorney Eileen will join us later if she'll have time.
Yes, I hope so. I hope that Attorney Eileen will be able to join us because for today, I think our supposed to be topic is something really, really interesting, not only in Texas, but also here in the Philippines. But anyway, Neska, kumusta ka?
Well, doing good kasi nakapagpahinga kagabi. Nakapagpahinga ba ako kagabi? Well, no, it's fiesta pala here sa amin sa province. Ooh. But yeah, I took the time to rest. Kahit nagtrabaho din naman ako kagabi. So yeah, pero at least nakatulog naman ng maayos. Ikaw ba, Krisha?
Well, ako, for me, lately, medyo fulfilling kasi my finals are finally over. My finals week are over. So, ayun, right after election, and bumalik ako na yun ng Manila to take my oath as a now certified legal student, law student practitioner.
So, wow, congratulations, Krisha. Malapit na talaga. Certified.
Sabi nga nila,
legal, certified legal student practitioner. Wow. Sounds really professional na talaga si Madam Krisha.
Grabe naman yun, Neska. Sabi nila, malayo pa pero malayo na.
Ayan. Yung iba kasi na nadidinig ko, malayo na, pero ayoko na. Pero pinakita
ko. Yun yung mantra ko, alam mo lang, yun yung mantra ko palagi. Pero ayun nga, wala naman tayong choice but to keep on, you know, moving forward. Kasi dyan ka na eh.
Yes, you just have to continue what we've started. Kasi nandyan na eh. There's no point of turning back na. And yes, congratulations, Krisha, for making it.
Salamat.
Legal student practitioner ka na and sobrang lapit na lang.
Yeah. Ikaw diba? your law school days, kumusta yung experience mo being a LSP or what we call now is as a law student practitioner?
Yeah, it's law student practitioner. Sobrang fulfilling ng experience during that time. Kasi we learn a lot eh. Yung mga reads na nabubook natin, yung mga provisions na nare-read natin sa books lang, parang nabubuhay yan kapag we really see it on the field or in the court. Nakikita natin mismo that what we've studied from first year hanggang ng fourth year, second year, third year, fourth year, ganito pala yung application nito in real life. Parang mas ma-appreciate mo and mas marami kang matututunan when you're really on the court observing or also doing some pleadings. Kasi yung iba nagpinapadraft din ng pleadings eh. With the supervision din ng lawyer talaga. And it's really fulfilling kasi we get to also know people na nasa legal profession, build connection, and that's one thing sobrang chine-cherish ko during those moments, the legal the CLEP program. Sobrang ganda ng program na yan na dinesign ng Supreme Court. Kasi dati kasi wala to eh. Parang kami ata yung first batch ata na nagkaroon ng... Yeah, 2023 ba yun? No? 2023 ata yun. Kami yung first batch na nag-CLEP. So, yeah, yung nag-graduate sa amin before, they don't have CLEP. For sa amin, ni-require na yung CLEP. So, parang we're lost. Parang ano ba gagawin dito? Parang wala pa kami kumbaga sa documents. So, wala kaming template. So, we really start from scratch. Hindi namin alam kung paano we have to apply din sa court. Nag-apply din naman kayo siguro, no? Sa court. To be law student practitioner. So, hindi namin alam yun. And yes, first batch kami. Parang kami yung pioneer batch ng CLEP. So, yeah. I think it's magandang change sa legal education sa Philippines.
Actually, sabi nga ng executive judge kahapon na during her law school days, actually I think meron na tong CLEP before pero hindi lang siya totally broader concept na kasi siya ngayon eh. Like we are now allowed to draft pleadings in accordance with Rule 138 pero sila before parang more on observation lang sa court proceedings. So ang sabi niya kasi while observing in the court talagang mas na-motivate daw siya to aim for the position or to aim for being a judge kasi normally, sasabihin ng iba daw, boring daw pagiging judge kasi mga kaso lang ang kausap mo. Pero it's really interesting daw how she's able to read the stories of other people's. Yun nga lang, ang pangit nga lang daw na talagang makikita niya or mababasa niya yung story ng tao na napunta sa point ng buhay na yun, na napunta nga sila sa kasuhan, kaya sila nasa pero it's really interesting that you're able to know the differences of the behavior of people kasi psychologist din siya. So I think that's really the aim of CLEP for us to be able to know to ourselves kung talaga bang gusto natin tong pinapasok natin, if it's really our calling. And also ayun nga, it's a great preparation talaga para at least as early as now alam mo talaga kung mag-e-enjoy ka sa gagawin mo. Otherwise, then you'll be able to save yourself in the future, di ba? Para, alam mo, kung i-stop mo na, edi i-stop mo na.
Totoo. Kasi, yung implementation talaga ng CLEP program, parang sinasabi nila that the law school here in the Philippines or the legal education here in the Philippines is just bar-centric. Yung parang sa written lang. Yun lang yung pinaprepare natin. But now, the Supreme Court would want us to be practically ready talaga. Like, alam talaga natin yung gagawin when nasa court na tayo or nasa legal practice na talaga tayo. Not just how we pass the bar exam, but kung paano talaga mag-deal sa tao, how we handle cases. Kasi, correct me if I'm wrong, nasa CLEP, we are already allowed to appear in some cases, of course, with the supervision of a lawyer na. Kasi, sa amin kasi hindi kami nakapag-appear sa court eh, but we were just being guided by the supervisory lawyer namin.
I think that's what I'm really looking forward to, Nesca. Kasi to be able to aside from giving advices, to be able to help other people or potential clients to appear inside of the courtroom. Kasi talagang in the province, lalo na kung talagang baryo na baryo talaga. Kahit nasabihin natin they are clamoring for justice, they are clamoring to be heard, hindi talaga kaya eh. Na syempre iisip, ang daming factors kasi na pwede mag-hinder sa'yo na mag-appear sa court. Possibly because of lack of money. Syempre, kapag talagang nasa bundok ka na, iisipin mo pa, okay, yung transportation ko towards this place. Ang daming factors eh. But really, what I'm looking forward is, now that I'm a certified law student practitioner, is to be able to broaden my scope na hindi lang ako nakafocus sa area na kung nasaan ako. But if it's possible that I'm going to join other law groups who are going to conduct free legal aid or legal service, that's what I'm really looking forward this summer. Kaya hindi rin ako magsa-summer, magsa-summer class. Oo. Kasi yun yung nilook forward ko talaga eh. Parang, kasi sa amin sa Pangasinan, I'm more of support ng talagang medyo malapit sa bundok. Kaya, aware ako sa mga ganyang nangyayari.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yun sa...
Yeah, ako din, actually, Krisha, nung college, nung nasa law school din pala ako, we used to have those legal aid clinics. Parang we conducted, I think, 3 or 4 legal aid clinics din. We joined that kasi required din kami and also sa units na rin sa CLEP. And yes, sobrang fulfilling. Like, merong mga taong mag-a-ask ng advice sa'yo. Kasi sa CLEP, pwede ka na rin mag-advise sa mga tao. You can give legal advice already. But of course, with no pay yet, pro bono muna. No, yun.
Actually, may joke ako yan. Sorry, I have to tell you. Baka kasi makalimutan ko. Sinabi ko kasi ito sa father ko na nag-send ako ng picture na naka-bolero ako kahapon. So sabi niya, okay, na kung anong kumusta, anong meron. So sabi ko, din-explain ko what CLEP is. So sabi niya, congrats. Tapos, ayan, pwede ka na mag-advise. Kikita na tayo, sabi niya sa akin. Sabi ko, daddy, bawal ka ako. Baka kasuhan ako. Sabi niya, ganito ang gawin natin para hindi ka kakasuhan. Magbibigay ka ng advice, ako ang maniningil. Pero okay guys, mga nanonood dyan.
Sinabi mo na lang yung pala yung maniningil.
Para daw hindi naman talaga daw ako yung liable kasi hindi ako directly yung naniningil.
Sabihin na lang for donation. For donation na lang para sa susunod na legal aid clinic. Kahit patubig-tubig na lang. Ganun na lang. Witty na ng father mo. Shout out mo naman yung father mo. Panagin ka na.
Shout out sa tatay ko yung puro kalukuhan ng alam. Dead joke lang. But anyway, Mets, I think it's time that we are going to have our first break. So, ayun guys. So, make sure to tune in and we will be right back.
Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind the scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events. Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
And we're back here at Legal Treats with Nesca and Krisha. And we've been discussing earlier yung naging CLEP program or Clinical Legal Education Program with Krisha kasi she just took her oath. And yes, Krisha, what do you have?
Alright, so naalala ko lang, no, in correlation to legal aid, because in Texas, I think it was Friday sa Texas, so last Wednesday in Texas, I actually attended a seminar seminar workshop wherein they are gathering lawyers around Texas, Houston to be specific, to provide a free service in naturalization. And naturalization, just in any case, hindi aware ang ating mga audience. So this is a process wherein a green card holder becomes a naturalized, meaning that you will be able to have or to enjoy the benefits of a natural born citizen of the US, just like you do, even if you are not a natural born in the States. So same lang here in the Philippines. There are two concepts, diba? Naska, naalala mo pa ba yun?
Yung ano ba? Yung sui generis ba? Yung ano? And ano ba yung isa? Go. Nakalimutan.
Actually, kaya ko na tinatanong. Nakalimutan ko din.
Sui generis na ano ba yun?
So anyway, in the Philippines kasi kapag... Okay, so I think I just received a message coming from Attorney Eileen and she will be joining us in a few. So
okay, that's good.
But anyway, regarding that free legal service that Houston lawyers are going to provide, I feel like it's really, kahit saan naman, no? As long as it's free service, talagang it's something that I really look up to. Kasi it's not easy. Kasi you're going to allot your time providing this kind of service to other people. Syempre, yung time mo dapat sa family mo or for yourself, i-allocate mo sa ibang tao. So, that's really something admirable. Don't you think, Neska?
Yes, totoo yan. That we're granting the rights and the benefits to someone na gusto ring maging citizen. I don't know if compared sa natural born citizens. I think it's a good program din naman, Krisha.
All right. And ayun, so ikaw ba, Neska, once you become a lawyer, no? Do you think, sabi kasi nila parang imposible na pro bono cases lagi ang kukunin mo. Pero kasi yun siguro yung magiging weakness ko na pag naging abogado ako, parang ang hirap tanggihan na mga pro bono cases kasi they are called pro bono for a reason. Kasi nga talagang walang-wala. So parang, alam mo yun, siguro yun yung magiging kalaban ko. Kaya kapag sinasabi ng ibang tao na, oh, future lawyer ka, malamang yayaman ka. Alam mo yun, parang yayaman ba ako sa pagbibigay ng free service. So, pero kasi personally, I am not into the monetary aspect. Siguro bonus na lang yun. But I'm more of into that public service talaga.
Wow. That's so nice, Krisha, kasi you really are for public service. Kasi totoo naman talaga kasi the legal profession is really not a business. Sinasabi talaga yan sa atin na nasa law school pa lang tayo. It's not a business, but it's not for any monetary reason, but it's really for service, for people, you know, to help people, to guide people. Kasi we are officers of the court and we don't have any business making monetary compensation. Ayan, nandito na si Attorney Eileen. She'll be joining us in a minute, right? Siguro when she's ready.
Yep, and so there na talagang inaabangan ng ating abogado ng bayan, abogado ng buong mundo. The great decision. Let us all welcome Attorney Eileen.
Yes.
Hello. Good evening, Texas, but it's still bright here. Yeah. It's already 7, almost 7 p.m. But you can see, maliwanag pa, di ba?
Yes. Ang ganda ng view niyo, Attorney Eileen.
Oh, that's the, no, that's really the highway, yeah. So I know if it's still traffic, so it tells me if it's time to go home or not. I don't want to be stuck in traffic. But anyway, let me greet first. Good evening, Texas. Good morning, Philippines. And again, thank you for tuning in. And I'm really thankful for these two ladies who, you know, have been doing a great job chatting and sharing their experience. And I was actually listening earlier about yung kay Krisha, you're talking about the legal aid. And that reminds me of tomorrow, and this is the time also I should, you know, I could probably plug in. So, pwede maganda yung lighting ko kasi you see the sun.
Exactly, spectacular.
Yeah. So anyway, so tomorrow I'll be, I do this whenever I am available. I volunteer in a nonprofit organization. Just like Legal Aid, you know, they have this program to help people who are green card holder, meaning legal permanent resident, to determine if they are eligible to naturalize and become U.S. citizens, and then we help them. But of course, since it is more of like a legal aid kind of setup, so yung mga tinutulungan nila ay mga low income, so meron silang bracket. Of course, those who can pay, you know, they may not qualify for this, you know, for this program. But for those who, you know, can qualify based on their income, then they may avail of this free service because it's a free service. So that's why you're talking about pro bono earlier. And yeah, this is one of the pro bono programs that I support. This is actually a program of Baker Ripley, which is a nonprofit organization. They have so many programs that help our community. So, pero I'd like to make an announcement na plug, napa-plug na rin ako, di ba? That Lawin Foundation will soon provide some pro bono services to our community. Wow. So, and we'll make an announcement and we'll let you know when is it going to happen and how you're going to be able to avail of these free legal services. And not just legal services, other services also. It could be education, it could be anything that we can find resources for our neighbors, for our community. So that's what Lawin Foundation is all about. But I, like I said, this is just an early announcement, so we'll share more information later on. Okay.
Yes, I think that's a great program, Attorney Aileen, especially for those na hindi maka afford ng legal services like yours. Your, di ba? Feeling ko mahal ni Attorney Aileen eh.
I get it. Mahal? Mahalin. Mahal ko ang public service. Kaya yan tuloy, marami tayong mga community service. Since ginagawa ko na rin naman yun, that's why gave me an idea, why not just do it big and also find something that will benefit the Philippines as well. So there will be some programs that will benefit our friends in the Philippines, yung mga in needs of, it depends on what kind of needs and what is available for them. So we'll try to help not just our community here, but also community in the Philippines. Ano yung pwede nating magawa sa ating mga, matulong sa ating mga kababayan. Yun yung ano. So, yeah, because I heard you guys talking about it, we're supposed to discuss about divorce. Why don't we do a segue on naturalization? Because Krisha can also share with us some important knowledge. Total, yung tatay naman ni Krisha, gusto mag-offer na services to Krisha, which actually makes sense. I believe Neska probably also experienced that your parents are so proud of what you do. They're so proud that you will soon be doing legal works. So ina-advance na nila yan. They find the estudyante ka pa lang, meron ka nang natutulungan, which I can relate so much kasi that's what happened to me in the past. Let me share with you a little story. Yeah? Because my undergraduate is BS Biology. So originally, my parents, specifically my tatay, he wanted me to be a doctor. So then my undergraduate was BS Biology. But then after graduation, I finished it, of course, at UP, UP Baguio. But after graduation, I talked to him, I really wanted to go to law school. And he was very supportive. No una, I thought na he might not be happy about it, you know, but he was very supportive. As a matter of fact, when I was first year pa lang ako, na that's why I can relate to Christian. Kasi first year pa lang ako, whenever I go home for, you know, a vacation or on the weekend, di ba? May mga tao na naghihintay doon na, ano, nangangailangan ng legal advice or tulong. And I was like, I was just first year. Sabi ko, first year was, ano, but you know, I am forced to, actually motivation mo rin yun to study because, you know, may magtatanong sa'yo, you wanna be able to give them the correct answer or good advice. So, na-encourage ka rin na, oh, I have to be good at this. I have to know the law. You know, so motivation na yun, kaya go ka lang, Chris. Tama yung ginagawa ng dad mo. What is your motivation also? Tama, Nessa, have you tried doing that? Or it did happen to you?
Actually, totoo yan, attorney. Palaging may nagtatanong about legal advice. So sabi, parang hindi pa naman ako qualified magbigay ng
kasi
legal advice.
Kasi libre pa lang ngayon. Libre pa lang, sadyante ka pa lang eh.
Oo nga eh. Siguro kapag license na, hindi na sila magtatanong.
Kapag license na, pwede ka na maningil. You have the right to ask for fees.
Yes, totoo. Kaya siguro ganun. Kasi marami nagtatanong pa. Kasi libre pa ngayon. But when you're licensed na, parang ayaw na nila kasi magbibill ka na sa kanila eh.
Totoo. Tama. Meron ka ng karapatan kasi maningil, you know, ng fees because you already have a license. Yeah, so anyway, going back to that, ano, since we're gonna talk about naturalization, and kasi hindi lang naman din yung naturalization sa mga taga rito eh. It may also affect yung mga, there is a correlation din sa mga families because once you naturalize here in the US, you become a US citizen. You can also file petition for your, ano, for your relatives. Like for example, immediate relative mo, who are the immediate relatives? Yung parent, kung wala ka pang asawa, yung mga magulang mo, pero pag may asawa ka, yung spouse mo and yung mga anak mo. So you can file a petition for them so that they can come over here and stay here with you also once you become a citizen. Pwede pa rin naman ang green card, pero iba rin yung process. Baga may mas mabilis yung sa US citizen, definitely. Tsaka mapipetition mo. There are some advantages pagka US citizen ka na nag-file ng ano ng petition than when you are green card. So, yeah, at saka depende rin sa circumstances of the people who you are filing for. So, ngayon, since we started talking about that, first question that I always ask, you know, to a client or minsan doon sa pro bono work ko, I ask them, so why do you want to become a US citizen? Why do you want to naturalize? That's what you call them, diba? Naturalization. So they will give you different reasons, but number one reason that I always get is to be able to vote in an election. You know, because green card holders, legal permanent residents, residents cannot vote. Only U.S. citizen can vote. So in order for you to exercise that right, you have to be a U.S. citizen. You have to naturalize. So if you are green card, you can already apply for naturalization once you are eligible. And that's what we're going to talk about now is more on eligibility. All right. So when we say eligibility, just because you are a green card holder doesn't mean you can already naturalize. Una muna, you look at how did you get your green card? Tama, Krisha?
Yes, attorney. That's right.
Do you remember? Nag-notes ka, di ba? Nag-take notes ka, di ba? So, si Neska ang tuturuan natin ngayon. Si Neska. So, Neska, pwede ka magtanong sa amin ni Krisha.
Kaya, Thursday daily lang.
Krisha na lang tanong mo.
Kaya, Thursday daily lang. Tatanong kasi, interested maging natural citizen ng ano.
Oh, yan lang natin si Krisha. May tatanong ako. Magtatanong muna kay Krisha. Nagot, Krisha. Nag-take notes ka.
Goodbye na pala, attorney. Nandito na kayo. Okay na.
Hindi, ikaw nga intervene eh, di ba? So, sino yung mga pwedeng mag-naturalize? Di ba? Una muna. Is you have to determine, whenever there is an applicant or somebody who's asking about that, I always ask, did you bring your green card? By the way, green card lang yung common term doon, but it's actually legal permanent resident ang tawag, LPR. You know, kaya lang dahil green yung card, naging green card ang tawag doon, kaya tawag nila green card. Yeah. So, I always like, okay, where's your green card? Because when you look at the green card, you will know, may code doon, you will know how did that person get the green card, you know? How do you get a green card? Either employment, you know, you have an employer and the employer filed the petition for you, or relatives, family base, yung nga, yung immediate relatives, yung nagpakasal ka sa US citizen, ganyan, or yung victim ka ng, ano, ng violence, VAWA, or victim ka ng crime, U-Visa, o victim ka ng trafficking, T-Visa. So, makikita mo doon kung how did that person acquire the green card. Now, why do we need to know? Because it will tell you when can you file for naturalization. Okay? So, dalawa lang naman yan. Most likely so far. Huh? If you got your green card through a marriage with a U.S. citizen, 3 years lang, pwede, 3 years lang yung, if you're green card holder for 3 years, you can already, you're already eligible to file for naturalization. Pwede ka na maging citizen. After 3 years na na-issuean ka ng green card. So you will look at the green card, you will look at the date of the issuance and count 3 years from that, then you can already file for naturalization. Now, kung hindi naman, through marriage, ibig sabihin all others, okay, whatever, however you got that family base or employment, yeah, 5 years. Mm-hmm. You have to be a green card holder for 5 years before you can apply for naturalization. Mm-hmm. You can apply. But that doesn't mean you can really apply. It depends. Isa lang naman yun sa mga tinitingnan mo. Because there are other requirements, and I guess Krisha can already discuss the other requirements, you know, aside from the dates, you know, aside from the fact that you have to be a green card holder for either 3 years or 5 years. I'll give you a clue. Physical presence. Do you remember that?
Physical presence, 3 years. Is it 3 years, attorney?
Well, yun nga, pagka...
Parang mali agad. Yan, tuloy na resit si Krisha.
Krisha, magbiniya kita ng test, ha? pag sinabi ng physical presence, ibig sabihin physically nandito ka sa US. So, kahit na green card holder ka na for 10 years, kung palagi ka namang lumalabas ng bansa, palagi ka na sa ibang bansa, na sa Pilipinas, you know, you might not be eligible kasi nga tinitingnan yung number of days na dapat nandito ka physically sa US. So kung, let's say for example, the marriage is, your green card was, you know, based on the marriage, diba? So 3 years lang yun. So titingnan mo yung 3 years mo, the past, the immediate 3 years or prior 3 years, titingnan mo kung gaano kadalas ka lumabas. Kailangan, kung bibilahin mo lahat yung araw, so you have to do the math. How many days are there in 3 years?
365 times 3, 900. Oh my gosh, attorney, hindi talaga ako for math. Nasko, help!
Sige, that's 1,095.
Okay. Alright, so, kukunin mo yung ano doon, yung more than half. So, to be safe, mga 51% niyan, dapat nandito ka sa US. So,
500 days.
Mga ganyan. 500 days. To calculate. Ito total mo yun. Kaya pagka nag-ano ka, if you fill up the application for naturalization, ililista mo lahat yung travels mo. When did you leave the country? When did you come back? How many days did you stay outside the country? So dapat, pag tinotal mo yung number of days na nandito ka, should be at least, not less than 51% of the time for the three-year period. Now, pag 5 years naman, ganun din. 5 years nga lang. So more than half, 51% ng 5 years. So I think mga 900 something yon. 900. I'm a lawyer. I'm not an accountant either, so I don't do the math. So you have to do the math. But you have to calculate. We always calculate that. So ngayon, if, for example, you've been traveling a lot and nag-fall short ka doon sa number of days, that means you cannot file for naturalization yet. Mag-iipon ka ng number of days. So another year ka na naman dadagdagan mo. This year, wag ka munang lumabas so that you can collect all the days. Because they will look at the last 5 years. So, tinatrack mo yun. Okay, I'm getting some text messages here. Let's see if these are questions.
Sana hindi na questions sa akin relate.
Okay. Alright. So, malinaw na ba yun? Okay ba tayo? May question doon.
So, regardless, attorney, kung 3 years or 5 years, kasi marriage 3 years for other reasons, it's 5 years, diba? Kailangan mo talagang maka 51% na stay sa US.
Yeah, to be safe, kailangan talaga yung exact, you calculate it. Let's see.
Like, for example, 6 years ka nang nasa US. So that means for 6 years na yan, 51% pa din. Tama ba?
Yes. So, you have to look at the last 5 years or the last 3 years, depende dun sa basis mo nga for naturalization.
Ah, okay. So, like, for example, if you're in the US for like 10 years, the last 3 years of your stay in the US, yun lang yung ika-count? Tama ba?
Yes. Immediately prior to your filing. You just look at the last 3 years. Kaya kapag kulang pa, then, you know, you add more days. So you have to actually plan.
Okay, okay. Copy.
So that's what physical presence means. You have to be physically here in the U.S.
Well, what about what they call a civics attorney? Like, what are these?
Oh, that's actually the exam. Of course, when you are eligible, pag determine mo na eligible ka to file, so you will fill up which form, Krisha? What form do they have to fill up when they file for naturalization?
They are going to file N-400 for...
check. At least my check na si Krisha. Yay! So N-400 application form. That is your... that's the form that you will fill up and you will submit that to the USCIS office. So once you have filed that with, of course, the supporting documents that you have to submit, you know, pag na-receive na ng USCIS yan, they'll determine if they need more documents. Kung wala na, they will schedule you for interview. So sa interview date, doon ka pupunta physically, you'll have to go to their office, USCIS office, field office, and you will, the interview has the civic exam and the reading and the writing. Actually, reading and listening unit. So there are 100 questions that you will review so far right now. It could change. You know, they could change it. But right now, you have 100 questions to review. And the officer will ask you 10 questions out of the 100. And you have to get 6 correct answers in order to pass the interview. Now, if you fail that, then you will have to retake it. You'll have to be rescheduled, mag-review ka ulit, and then you take the exam again. Now, that's a civic test. You will also be tested sa reading, so you will have to read. They'll give you something to read, and then they'll also dictate something, and you will write it. That's your listening test. Now, part of the process of determination of eligibility, if you're eligible to apply, is the ability to speak English and to understand English. So that's why we do interviews. We interview the client to determine if the client understands English and can speak English, because the interview will be done in English, except for, of course, there are some exceptions to the rule. But if you don't fall under that exception, or you're not qualified for accommodation, then you'll have to, you need to be able to prove to the officer that you can talk and understand English. Not really very fluent. Basta you can understand and you can speak. Because the officer will ask you so many questions, answerable by yes or no. So your answer should be correct. But if you did not understand the question, then you might be saying yes to an answer that you're supposed to say no.
I have a really interesting question regarding this, attorney, but I think we should go on a quick break, and then right after that, I'm going to ask you that question.
Oh, okay. I will ask you questions too.
Yes, okay, see you.
Mas kaya ikaw nga magtanong, mag-ask ka ng questions kay Christian.
Para si Christian. Attorney. Got you.
You have your quick break, attorney.
Okay.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today and let's create magic together.
Wala naman, no? Wala pa so far, attorney. So tayo yung magtatanong.
Ako lang yung may tanong, attorney. Kasi okay. Here in the Philippines, we have this, I'm not sure kung how do I describe this kind of thinking. Pero kasi sa Pinas, once na may jowa kang
wala
afa.
Siya.
Oh, wala ka sa screen, Kersha.
Ayan.
Once na may
ano yung term mo?
Jowa. The boyfriend, girlfriend kang afam or like a US citizen. So, lagi kasi nilang sinasabi that the easiest way to leave or go to the States is to marry a US citizen. So parang yun yung instead na parang mag-undergo ko ng process, ang taong yon, yung US citizen na yon, yung siya mismo yung green card mo. Yun yung siya mismo yung passport mo towards this.
Ano ka bang boyfriend na afam?
Parang personal question ata yan ah.
Oh, ay, hindi. Ikaw ba, Nesta, meron ba?
Pero may tanong din ako.
Oo nga eh. Pero curious ka din, di ba, na malaman, syempre. Either it applies to you or your friend.
Yes, of course. Yes, may tatanong din ako mamaya regarding marriage dyan.
Okay, sige. Anong loving specific question mo, Krisha?
Eh, how true okay, is that?
Na madali?
Yeah, the easiest way to go to the States or to live in the States is to marry a U.S. citizen.
I don't understand the word easiest there because getting married is not easy, to be honest.
Yeah.
And staying in a marriage is also not easy. So I don't know if the easiest is we're talking about processing, right, visa. But there's a lot of ways to come to the U.S., you know, not just through marriage with a U.S. citizen. You can come here using a tourist visa. You can come here using a student visa. You can come here as an investor. You can come here petitioned by your parents, by your relatives, diba? Not necessarily husband or wife. There are so many ways. Now, that's why I have to qualify the easiest way. I think it depends on your qualifications. It depends on your what you have, skills mo. If you don't have any investment, investors capability, if you don't have a relative, I guess, in the U.S. who could file a petition for you, or you have no means of applying to a to study in a U.S. School, you know, then maybe that's another option. That's the only option available for you. That's probably why you say ECS. But maybe it's an option. Maybe that's the option that is available based on your circumstances, you know? So anyway, of course, if you got married with a U.S. citizen, it's not automatic that you're going to come here. Now, it depends where did you get married, because we also have the fiancé visa, remember? Your boyfriend, girlfriend, a U.S. citizen who is in the U.S. can file a visa, a K-1 visa for you, which is the fiancé visa. And once it's approved and you're qualified, you're issued the visa, then you can come here using that visa. And then you have 90 days to get married. Otherwise, you have to go back home. And that's why we have the show, the 90-Day Fiancé.
Yeah,
because it's a 90-day visa talaga. If you did not get married within that 90-day period, you have to go back to the Philippines. That's what it means by that. But if you got married, then you can stay and you can change your status, adjust your status into a green card, or we call it legal permanent resident. And then after that, 3 years after that, you can naturalize. That's what it means by the process. But if you get, let's say you get married in the Philippines, or the U.S. citizen has a boyfriend or girlfriend in the Philippines and went to the Philippines, and then you decided to get married there, then the U.S. citizen spouse has to come back to the U.S. and stay here for quite a number of days, and then file a petition for you to come over here as a spouse. So it's not automatic that because, and I think this is actually a misinformation online na pag nagpakasal ka sa US citizen sa Pilipinas, pagbalik na dito kasama ka na, it's not like that. That US citizen has to file a petition for you and has to be approved first. And it has to be processed at the consular level, which means US Embassy dyan sa Philippines. So there will be an interview there as well. And you pass that interview, then they will issue you your document, travel document to come over here.
Yun kasi lagi ang ano dito, attorney, yung parang connotation ng mga Pinoy na once na may AFAM ka, may basta US citizen or any other nationality, parang laging yan ang sinasabi nila, yun na isang kababayan na naman ang nakaahon sa hirap. Ganun ang lagi nilang sinasabi. Which is, personally, nakakainis siya. Kasi, who are we to judge? Malay natin, true love naman talaga. Parang bonus na lang talaga yung makapunta ka ng States or makapunta ka ng ibang bansa. But, of course, sabi nyo nga, marriage is not easy. And I think naman, kahit naman nasabihin nating practical, dapat, pero still, hindi ganun kadali na ipunta yung sitwasyon natin sa posisyon na hindi ka madaling makawala. Especially in marriage. Right, Neska?
Yes, ato. So, yun din yung, yung follow-up ko dyan, attorney. Kasi, diba, when you apply for naturalization there, kailangan muna, if by marriage, you got your green card through marriage, kailangan 3 years, attorney, no?
Bago ka mag-file, yeah. Before you can be eligible to file for naturalization, yes. 3 years.
What if po hindi po nakaabot ng 3 years or let's say nag-divorce po yung Filipina and the, let's say, the U.S. citizen?
And it happens. It happens. Yes. As a matter of fact, because of misconception at saka misinformation, tsaka yung connotation, whatever you call that, or lack of education or miseducation, ang tawag mo dyan. May mga Filipina or Filipino spouse na they try to stay in the relationship even if the relationship is already toxic or they are already victims of domestic violence, abuse. They stay in the marriage because they thought that in order for them to be a natural citizen, they have to stay married with the person. And hindi lang yung misinformation ng Filipina spouse, but also the other, the U.S. citizen spouse. Sometimes they don't know the real deal, so they tend to abuse the spouse. Na mali yun, because even if you are already divorced, you can still naturalize. But doon napapasok yung you have to categorize. Are you filing for naturalization based on marriage or based on any other matter, yung general reason? Pag marriage, 3 years. Pag divorce na kayo, 5 years. You just have to wait.
Okay.
Yeah. So, hindi ka kailangan mag-stay doon. Especially if you have reasons to get out of that marriage. Katulad ngayon, yung mga victims of domestic violence. And marami yan. Kaya nga meron tayong tinatawag. Yung iba naman, hindi pa sila napapila ng petition. Hindi pa sila green card. Nagpag-asawa pa lang sila. They will wait for a long time until the U.S. citizen spouse will file a petition. Yung iba, hindi nagpapal. Yung iba, pinaghihintay lang, pinapaasa. May mga solution naman, dependent case by case. So that's why it's important if you are in a relationship or in a situation that you feel like it's not right, you better consult an attorney para malaman ninyo kung ano yung mga rights ninyo at saka ano yung mga dapat yung gawin. Because you're not supposed to be in a situation na, there's injustice. Halimbawa, yung you are being forced to work, to stay in a relationship, tapos inaalila ka, there are so many abuses. And when we say abuses, Neska, that we have been discussing about divorce, could be physical abuse or it could be economic abuse.
Emotionally, yeah. Psychologically.
Yeah. And that is a crime. So if the other spouse, if the spouse doesn't want to file a petition for you, but he's but there's a crime being committed, which is a physical abuse, domestic abuse, that's a crime. You can actually self-petition. You don't need the spouse. You can self-petition for that as a victim of a crime or a victim of trafficking. The other one is trafficking.
So, alam mo na, Krisha, ha?
And dami-dami na, no? Those are really big topics that we can discuss, specific topic later on. Because, there are so many, if there's an injustice, there should be a way out. And you need to find out, you need to know, you need to reach out, you need to find help.
And Neska, if I may add, I know a very, very famous law firm there in Houston, Texas. Now, just in any case that our audience are listening, just in any case you have issues regarding your immigration papers or divorce, you are more than free to check out this website, LegalDecent. Yes. They're the best in the field.
Immigration. We do family and immigration. So anyway, kaya nga, yan na yan eh. There is actually a thin line, or maybe not thin line, but there is a cross section of family law and immigration.
So yun, alam mo na, Krisha, ha? You don't have to stay married if if you're undergoing through abuse. But you just have to apply na lang sa 5 years na lang, sa other reason na lang, not for marriage na.
Oh, oh. And there's always a solution to it.
There's remedy naman pala.
Oh. Yeah, so ngayon ang tanong ko kay Krisha.
Pero
taga saan?
Charot.
Na Houston.
Medyo joke lang po.
Answer mo na yan.
How long is the process? That's something that we cannot guarantee talaga. So I always tell my clients that they ask, how long will the process be? How long is a process from the time you apply for naturalization? Actually, it depends yun. Sometimes, matagal yung paghihintay mo. Sometimes, madali lang. Depende din yun sa completeness ng application mo. Let's say, for example, your application, you submitted a complete application. You still have to wait for several months bago ka ma-invite for interview. But usually, if you receive an invitation to interview, they give you about 2 months, mga ganyan, to at least, you know, when you're gonna be interviewing, because you have a test, a civic test. So, you have time to review. Hindi naman yung iba natatakot sila dun sa test. But, ano lang naman yun, there is a review material all over in YouTube that you can, you know, you can watch. As a matter of fact, what I tell my clients, just listen to this YouTube videos of the 100 questions. Paulit-ulit, paulit-ulit. Tatanong lang naman sa'yo yan, sampo. But, if you get the first 6 right, hindi ka natatanungin ng 7, 8, 9, 10. So, naka-6 ka na eh, di ba? Yun.
Other than yung mga sample questions po.
What is the legislative body of the basic lang is the first president kanyan, who is Abraham Lincoln, mga ganon. They have specific questions and you can repeatedly listen to that or read it and you will
politics, history, parang ganon, social events,
constitution. About, of course, yeah, that's why it's called civic test. And then yung sa ano naman, sa writing naman, they dictate to you, just basic ano lang sentence, if you can write it. You know. Or they will ask you to read one sentence and see if you can read. You know. Again, there are some accommodations that are available depending on the situation mo. Kasi yung mga iba, they're allowed they're exempted from the test. Or naman, ano lang, they will, instead of reviewing 100 questions, 20 questions lang. Depende sa age mo, tsaka how long you've been in the US. So may mga ganun accommodation. But of course, in general, yung requirement is you have to pass the civic test. Get that 6 questions correct. And then of course, the reading and then the listening. Yeah, where you get the right. Okay?
Kaya ni Krisha yan. For sure.
ang hirap pala maging guest dito. Ako yung hostess na akin. Para akong nasa recitation kay Attorney Eileen eh. Kanina pa ako pinagpapawisan sa kaba.
Dapat nilabas mo yung nilabas mo yung notes mo. Yeah, well, paano naman sa fees, so you have to pay for the USCIS fees when you file your application. Ngayon, kapag kamali yung fees mo, your application will be returned or rejected or will be denied. Now, kapag kakulang naman yung mali yung form mo na pinilapan, outdated na siya, it could also be returned to you or it will be denied. So, yun yung mga nagpapatagal na process yan. Kung kulang naman yung mga documents mo, yung mga supporting documents mo, then they may issue an RFE. RFE ang tawag dun sa request for evidence. Ibig sabihin, you will receive a notice that they're looking for this evidence, this document, and you have to submit it within a certain period of time. Kailangan may submit mo yun, otherwise madi-deny na yung application mo. So, yun yung mga nagpapatagal. Now, the other thing na nagpapatagal sa process ay if you change your address. So, if you file your application and then you change your address, you are required to update your new address sa USCIS. You know why? Because they send the notice to the address on file. So, if they send you If you move to a different location or address and you did not change your address with the USCIS, they will send a notice to your old address. And if you don't, if you didn't receive that, you're gonna miss your appointment. And if you miss your appointment, you know, this could cause the denial of your application, or they'll consider your application abandoned, or, you know. So you don't want to miss a notice. Yan ang importante doon. So that's why I always ask my client, if they're staying in an apartment, can you stay there until you finish the process? Usually naman yun, mga 8 months yun na yung average time nila yan. 8 months average. Could be faster, could be longer, but somewhere there. Okay?
Yes, yep. Okay.
That was a very, very...
Sige nga, itetest ko kayo. What are the, physical presence requirement? Sino sasagot? Raise your hand.
Yeah. Kailangang, attorney, 51%. Like,
So, pag 5-year physical presence, mga 900, how many days?
912.
Yeah.
912. Less than that. You know, pag nag-less ka dyan, let's say 910 ka lang, kulang ka lang 2 days, huwag ka muna mag-file. Okay, wait for the next year hanggang sa ma-overcome mo yung yung physical presence requirement na yun. Yeah. Pag gano'n naman, pag based on marriage, how many?
3 years.
3 years. 51% of the 3 years.
Oh, so magko-compute ka doon.
Yeah.
Okay, ano pa ba? Pwede natin itanong. Okay, yeah, well, the other thing that you need to remember when you fill up the application, there will be a lot of questions there. Now, sa inyong dalawa, this may not apply, but there is a law in a requirement here in the United States that if you come here below the age of 16, and ba, pupunta na 9 years old, 10 years old, 16 years old, kanya. There is a requirement na kailan mag-enlist ka, you know? So if you did not do that, you have to explain why. May mga, sometimes you can enlist, but yung iba, they said, I don't know that I have to enlist, I don't know that I am required. So you have to explain. You can fill up an affidavit, or you have disability, you cannot. But if you're a male, you have to address that issue there. So that's one thing. Now, the other thing that when you notice, if you fill up the application, is they ask you so many questions about, have you been arrested? You know, did you go to jail? Have you been in a deportation case before, Maganian? Because they will look into your record. They do a background record investigation, especially criminal. Why? Because there are some cases, there are some convictions, criminal convictions that will bar you from naturalizing, filing for citizenship for naturalization. Like, for example, if you're guilty of heinous crime, yung mga aggravated felony, ganyan, murder, then you cannot naturalize. So that's why there are some questions about if you have been convicted. And if you have criminal records and you've been acquitted or... you've served your sentence, you know, it happened long time ago after 5 years, long time ago, 10 years ago or more than 5 years ago, you still have to declare that, you still have to submit a proof that, you know, you're already acquitted or the case was dismissed and all that. Although they always say that they will only look into your past 5 years or 3 years. But if there are some convictions, you still have to declare them. That doesn't mean you will be ineligible, but honesty is still the best policy in terms of sa USCIS. Because they already know. So why lie? Don't lie. Don't ever lie to the USCIS officer. Never. Don't know it. They actually already know before you even step into the interview room. Mm-hmm. So even the traffic violations, yung mga tickets mo, although it will not affect your eligibility to naturalize, but you still have to declare them. And the most important of all that is you paid your tickets. So pag marami kang mga unpaid tickets because of traffic violations, you may not be eligible to naturalize unless you settle that first. Because papasok yung good moral mo. You're not a good moral character if you don't, if you violate the law and you didn't even pay your tickets. But it's not, if you paid your tickets, traffic tickets, it will not affect your eligibility. But again, honesty is still the best policy. You have to declare that. And of course, you have to pay that bago ka mag-natural, bago ka mag-apply ng, ng application mo. Your application.
Well, so, thank you.
Kaya mga drive, di okay lang. That's why I always ask, oh yeah, do you have a driver's license? Do you drive? How many times have you been issued tickets? Mga ganun tanong ko sa interview. Sometimes, it's hindi naman nila intend to lie or not to disclose, but sometimes hindi nila alam na yun pala yung tinatanong mo. So that's why you have to have the ability to ask questions in so many ways, but you just want to know whether has he been in jail or something like that? Kasi yung iba, pag tinanong mo, nakulong ka ba or have you been in jail, di ba? Sabi niya, no. But have you seen a judge? Yeah. So yung mga, you have to, it's the art of questioning. Sometimes, straight to the face, they'll tell you, oh, I have a clean record. I have no criminal record. Not at all. Nothing. But, if you ask them questions in different ways, lalabas, oh, so you appear before a judge? Yeah, I think I remember I did. So what was that about? Oh, I think it's about ticket violation. I did not pay, traffic violation, Oh, but did you pay for that? Yeah, I think I did, especially if it's a long time ago. But some cases, here, criminal cases can be expunged. Lalo na pag na-dismiss, diba? Para maging clear yung record mo. So when you apply for a job, they will not see your criminal record. Because some cases are eligible to be expunged or to be sealed. Ibig sabihin, they will not see it if they do a background check. And they do that. Pag nag-apply ka sa job, sa trabaho, wala silang makikita na criminal record mo. But not in immigration. In immigration, kahit na expansion or sealed, they will see it. You cannot hide from it. So you have to declare everything.
Wow, that's a great immigration. You cannot hide from Attorney Aileen. But anyway, Attorney, super thank you for all the knowledge that you've imparted. Wow, imparted talaga. Super thank you for this.
Di pa ba tayo tapos?
Tapos na. Tapos na. Okay, last can you go?
We actually all extended, no? Tama ba yung time?
We extended for more than...
Yeah.
Oh, nga. So anyway, because it's very interesting to talk about immigration, talk about especially timing ngayon, marami tayong mga immigration cases na kinakaharap ngayon because of the circumstances of the people right now. But what I'm trying to say is if you have a family issue or family cases and you're an immigrant, consult an attorney who has knowledge or practicing family law and immigration. Because if it's just family law you're going to seek and they're not aware of the consequences of that in your regarding your immigration documents, then you may be jeopardizing your immigration benefits. Ganun din sa criminal cases. So if you are an immigrant, you have a green card right now, and you plan to naturalize later on, and there's a criminal case filed against you, and then the attorney is asking you, I mean, your attorney said, magano ka na lang, or they're asking you to just plead guilty, be very careful with that, because if you do that, it might affect your eligibility to naturalize later on. So it's always best to consult an attorney who is knowledgeable and who practices in that field. So, yep. All right. So I think we're done.
Yes, very interesting topic kasi attorney. That's why we have extended some time. And yes, kung gusto pa nila.
We can continue that Neska next time. Yes. But we have to make an announcement so that people will know what we're going to talk about. So they can
ask
the questions. They can post your questions and we'll try to answer them during the show.
Yes, very interesting topic. So, sa mga gusto pang matuto sa immigration dito sa US, they can still catch the replay on over 15 podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google, Apple, and more. We're available on those platforms. And also on Facebook pala. We're still in Facebook. 30 days. Good for 30 days yung live na to, your legal treats. So yeah, so they can replay this episode
in our YouTube, no?
YouTube and Facebook, yes.
So be sure to like and follow, like, subscribe, Lawi Media Network YouTube channel, because that's where you're going to find the recorded live show, even if it's past 30 days. So yeah, and if you have any questions, just send a message to Krisha and Neska on Facebook. Or here.
Sure. We'll be glad to accommodate them.
And if you have any suggestions as to topics, feel free to send us also. And maybe we can accommodate that topic if, you know, given resources and opportunity to discuss that, then we will do it. Now, we also sometimes invite guests, so maybe we can invite guests appropriate for your topic. So let us know. But yeah, but anyway, we'll see you again next Friday. Ako na nagko-closing, ha? You guys, Krisha, do it. And Neska.
All right, so thank you so much for tuning in to Legal Treats for this episode today. May 16, 2025. Thank you so much. This has been Neska, Trini Aileen, and Krisha. See you on the next episode.
Bye. See ya.